I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the unpardonable sin. Mark chapter 3, verse 29 is the verse that I want to focus upon tonight. Mark chapter 3, verse 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. I often feel that examining the gospel of Jesus Christ is like examining a jewel in one's hand. As you turn it this way and that, the light shines on the various facets of the jewel. And sometimes you're wanting to appreciate the brilliance of a gem. Or maybe a young man and young lady are getting engaged. He's hoping she'll keep within the money he can afford. And the jeweler will take out the dark black cloth. And he will roll it out over the counter so that you might appreciate the gem in all of its brilliance and impress the would-be buyer. He places the gem on the black cloth. I'm going to do just that tonight and spread that dark black cloth and lay the gospel upon it. And I want to look with you at one of the most frightening things that the Lord Jesus Christ ever said when he spoke. What is called by many the unpardonable sin. And these words that we have read tonight are a dreadful warning. Let us remember that they are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his hand that unrolls the dark black cloth to the offer of God's grace and love in Christ. The whole matter arose out of an encounter. And those described in verse 22 of this passage, in Mark chapter 3, as the scribes which came down from Jerusalem. And they said that the Lord Jesus Christ had Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils, he cast out devils. The conclusion that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed and reached here in verses 28 to 30, there is this dark backcloth. And as I've already suggested, it is one of the most frightening things that Jesus Christ ever said. He that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. May the Lord Jesus Christ, in the closing moments of this meeting, solemnize our hearts as we consider this most serious and solemn subject. There are three lines of thought that I want to leave with you in the closing part of this sermon as we consider these words tonight. First of all, I want you to see their confrontation with Jesus Christ. We see these men, these religious leaders, and they have a confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was out of that encounter that the words of dreadful warning came. And let us remember this. He's speaking here of a confrontation with Jesus Christ. And let me suggest to you, first of all, tonight, it was a confrontation that was inevitable. Jesus Christ could not be ignored. Both the works that he did and the words that he spoke had to be taken notice of. In verse 8, we are told in this very passage from which we have read tonight that a great multitude, when they heard what great things he did, came unto him. The works that Jesus Christ did indicated the power that he possessed. It was not human power, but it was supernatural power. The words that he spoke claimed, indeed, a sense of authority. The Bible tells us, in fact, that he spake as one that had authority and not as the scribe. Words that were utterly convincing. The very evil spirits cast out by him named him the Son of God. And all this was happening in this realm of the religious life and thought in which these scribes themselves claimed to have special insight, special enlightenment, special authority. Jesus Christ was entering into the realm of man's belief in God, then they had to recognize the facts that were reported to them. Facts that set the whole nation into a fever of speculation. And so this confrontation was inevitable. And it still is, even in 2019. If men believe in God at all, if they have any interest at all in religion, then Jesus Christ must be feared. Jesus Christ must be encountered. He must be explained. The words of Christ and the works of Christ must be examined. You see, the Bible tells us tonight that never man speak like this man. No man was ever born like this man. He was virgin born. No man ever lived like this man. He lived a perfect life. No man ever died like this man. He died an atoning death. And so the confrontation with Christ was inevitable. And I trust that somehow tonight in this service that the Holy Spirit of God will make this very night for you here a day of confrontation between you, between your heart, between your soul and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to see it was not only a confrontation that was inevitable, but it was a confrontation that was uncomfortable. Jesus Christ disturbed so many people. He disregarded so many popular ideas. He disregarded so much that people had thought important. The Lord Jesus Christ challenged people. And just as he challenged people while he was upon this earth, and so he challenges you tonight. He had not come to discuss, but rather he had come to declare God's truth, to display God's grace, to demand man's total submission to both. But so for so many of these scribes and Pharisees, their faith in God had become identified with certain rules, certain ceremonies, with a conformity to a certain pattern of religious observance, to the use of correct religious vocabulary, and that's is still the case with many today. But all this had been cut down and torn aside, and they were brought face to face with man's relationship with God, with what God required of man inwardly, with what God must render, or man must render to God inwardly. They had to face the inwardness of us all, of it all, the thoroughness of it all. There was no place for compromise or for reservations. It was all or nothing. And so it was uncomfortable for these religious leaders, and maybe it's uncomfortable for you tonight to be confronted with these matters concerning your soul, concerning eternity, concerning where you stand in relationship with God. If you were to take the words of Jesus Christ seriously, these would be the most disturbing words you would ever hear. You couldn't go on living the way you're living, rejecting Christ the way you're rejecting Christ, turning your back upon His mercy and upon His grace. And so, you see there, confrontation with Jesus Christ. But secondly, we see their consideration of Jesus Christ. They did at least consider him. They made the effort to come down from Jerusalem. Verse 22 tells us that. They had heard the reports of what he had done. They had heard of what he had said. And they watched. And you know, my friend, in this world tonight, as it was then, there's nothing worse than total indifference. Even hostility is better than apathy. And these men at least gave Christ and themselves a chance to sort things out. They considered the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you consider him tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ. But even as they did consider the Lord Jesus Christ, there were two things that emerged from this consideration. They were faced with the choice that they had to make concerning him. And that choice was a simple one. He was either God or he was of the devil. My friend, the Bible recognizes only two realms of spiritual power, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Only two sources explain the supernatural event. Either the Lord Jesus Christ was of God or he was of the devil. But to admit that he was the Son of God would compel them to accept his teachings, for them to submit to his reign and to his authority. And that would be costly for these men, for these scribes and Pharisees. It would be costly in terms of their pride, in terms of their pleasure, in terms of their pocket, in terms of their comfort, in terms of their relationship with other people in society. You see, my friend, if you're going to come to Christ and be saved tonight, there's a cost. There's a cost that you must be willing to pay. He was the Son of God. And that would spell disaster to everything for which they had toiled and for which they had chosen to believe. It was asking too much as far as these religious people were concerned. But a choice had to be made. And a choice still has to be made tonight. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Or is he a devil? The choice they made. And my friend, you have to make a choice tonight. What will you choose, or who will you choose? Are you willing to pay the price? But then I want you to see the charge that they brought against him. They would not admit his deity. They had no choice but to identify him with Satan. Verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils cast to the out devils." Labeling him in this way, they could wash their hands of him. They could go on in their sweet way, unchanged, unchanging. If he was of the devil, then he had no relevance to them, for they claimed to be of God. And the absurdity of their position was exposed by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 23 when he said this: "How can Satan cast out Satan?" In Matthew's account, he speaks also of the fruit being good on the tree. And then surely the tree must be good. He appeals to logic and to reason. But you see, my friend, sin is never either logical or reasonable. These men were concerned only about those things that were of value as far as their lives were concerned. They did not want to change anything. They wanted to go on the way they had always gone on. They wanted to avoid the disturbance. They wanted to remain as they were. And maybe that's how you feel tonight. I don't want any change in my life. I just want to go on as I've always gone on. I just want to embrace the sins that I've always embraced. I want to love the things of the world as I have loved them down through the period of time of my life. The choice they made was a choice was made by these men. And the charge was brought. And this was their verdict, that Christ was of the devil. What is your verdict tonight concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he of the devil? Or is he the Son of God? And if he is truly the Son of God, then tonight, surely you must accept him. You must turn to him. You must trust him as your own and personal Savior. But then I want you to see tonight, finally, their condemnation by Jesus Christ. You'll notice the words of verse 29 of our text tonight. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And how serious and solemn these words are. Note that these words are spoken to unbelievers because it is impossible for a true child of God to commit the unpardonable sin. And I want to say that with the utmost conviction tonight. But you can be a member of a church and commit this sin. There is no forgiveness for this sin. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. Because the sin that persisted in is eternal and everlasting. So the place of forgiveness is never found. Note further that Jesus didn't say that these scribes, these unbelievers, had actually committed it. But their attitude made him warn of its existence. They were warned. And I'm not here telling you tonight that you have actually committed the unpardonable sin, but I'm warning you of the existence of the unpardonable sin. His words are a warning against something that is possible. What is it? It is a persistent and maintained refusal to accept the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a sin that can last as long as a man's life. Indeed, right the way to the end of his life. Or a woman or a young person. And these scribes persisted in their refusal to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as to who he really was. That his work was a divine work. They said that his work was of the devil. That's what they said. No Christian can commit this sin, but an unbeliever can commit it. It is something possible. Possible even for you tonight. Persistence in an attitude which means, in effect, that you turn your back upon Jesus Christ and you walk away from the gospel, as many have done. Turning away from his truth, turning away from his grace, turning away from his cross. If you turn your back on Jesus Christ, knowing him to be who he is, if you're still walking that way when death comes, you will continue walking that way forever. For he that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is unjust will be unjust. The Bible says. And for such there is no forgiveness. Here is something that is possible. Here, too, is a warning against something that is terrible. Notice the words in verse 29, hath never forgiven. Sometimes people talk as if all men are journeying the same road. That when we die, all men reach the same destination. This is not the teaching of Jesus Christ. Not the teaching of the Word of God. There is a land of no forgiveness. There is a place, my friend, that the Bible speaks of, a place of outer darkness. But if men and women and young people end up there, it is their own fault. It is not God's fault. Because by going there and ending up there, they have rejected the Son of God. They have rejected God's so great salvation. At every turn, my friend, God's love and God's Spirit will try to turn you from that path. But if you persist, if you refuse to the bitter end God's offer of mercy, refusing the promptings and pleadings of the Holy Spirit. The choice and the place is your choice, not God. If man persists on that path to ruin, he will end up in ruin forever and forever. The way to go to hell, my friend, is to reject, to resist, and to refuse God's offer in Jesus Christ. To turn your back upon him, to go on living that way. That way of rebellion and rejection, and in the end, dying the way that you've lived. With your back turned, Jesus Christ. But if you get there, friend, you'll have to clamber over all the barriers that God has put in your room, all the gospel sermons that you've heard, all the verses of Scripture that have been quoted in your hearing, all the example of Christian friends and witness of those whom you knew had told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, all the things in life that were used by the Holy Spirit to warn you of the danger of rejecting Christ. If you set your face away from Christ and away from the cross, then, my friend, if you're determined to live and die apart from him, there is only hell for you. There is no forgiveness. The Bible makes that clear. Everything that the Holy Ghost has needed to bring before you, you will have set aside. You will have trampled underfoot his precious blood. This is the road you will have decided to take. And if you persist on that road, then you will end up in a Christless eternity. You will have committed what the Bible says, the sin that hath never forgiven. You wonder that I call this one of the most frightening things that Jesus Christ ever said, and it is. What a dark, black backcloth to the glory of the gospel. And yet even when the Lord is spreading out this dark backcloth, he doesn't leave it without the sparkling gem of his grace. For right in the center, listen to verse 28. There is the forgiveness of the Lord. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. The gift of God's love that meant the giving of his Son to us now by the Holy Spirit, the gift of his Son. What more could God do than what he has done? He's made it possible for you to be forgiven. Made it possible for you to be saved. Made it possible for you to come to Christ. Made it possible for your sins to be blotted out. To have a new relationship with God. This is what forgiveness of sin truly means. Because the whole sin question has been resolved and swept away. You remember when the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross? It meant the way through was now open that sinful men could live in the very presence of God, whoever they were and wherever they were. But beyond the new relationship, there would be new resources. Man needs so much more than forgiveness. We need strength, we need courage, we need wisdom, we need love. All of this is given to us, is offered to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his death, through his rising again the third day. Did God do more than that, my friend? I don't know what else he could do. And added to that, you'd say the constant striving of the Holy Spirit to bring us to see our need and to seek Christ and his salvation. God has been at work through your life, seeking to bring you to Christ, seeking to turn you from your sin. Maybe it was a godly father or mother, or some godly influence through your life in Sabbath school, or the influence of the preaching of the Word of God. If you throw all that back in God's face, whose fault is it? It is your own fault, not God's. You have nobody else to blame but yourself. God doesn't want you to go down this road. You go down this road of rejection, it is your own choice. And so I want you tonight to consider the gem you've been looking at. Some of you have been looking at that gem of God's grace for a long time. You saw the different facets of it, the different sides of it. You've saw it in all of its splendor. You've seen the light shining upon it, God's love and God's truth and God's mercy. Deep down in your heart you've said, isn't that tremendous? God's salvation, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it real? Isn't it marvelous? I would like to know that in my own life. And maybe that's where you're at tonight. You say, I would like to be truly saved. I would like to know and experience God's salvation. You've said that, but you haven't done it. You see, it's one thing saying it. It's another thing doing it. And yet now again in the service, God is speaking to you. Would it not be tremendous tonight? If you would come to Christ, tremendous tonight if you would be saved. Tremendous tonight if you would give up your sin. Tremendous tonight if you would turn from your wicked ways. You ever saw a small child? I'm sure many times you've seen a small child running away from his father. And you would say, maybe not out loud, but you would say, silly little thing. And there's the father running after him. Or the mother, and finally the child is captured in the arms of love. And the little one is taken in security and safety. And that's what the arms of the love of God would love to do for you tonight. Will you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? He puts his arms outstretched to you in love to reach you and to rescue you, to bring you to himself, to turn you from your sin. You've considered Christ. Why not make the right decision? Why not take him tonight as your Savior? Will you take him now? Will you leave your sin tonight? Enter into that new relationship with God. Begin to enjoy the new resources that Christ will bring into your life. Can you do it tonight? I pray you will. Because if you don't, you're in danger of this sin, committing this sin. You're in danger of the unpardonable sin, the sin. There is no forgiveness. Oh, may God in mercy deliver you tonight. In his mercy, may he save you tonight and turn you to himself that you might be saved. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt work in every heart and life tonight. We pray for those who know thee not, that, O God, even tonight they may come and trust in Christ and know the salvation that is found alone in him, the mercy, the pardon, the grace that he alone doth give. We pray that thou wilt answer prayer, even tonight, the salvation of some soul. We pray in Jesus' name.